try and program their children.
Have advocated for
the slave programming. They're trying to put it in my brain.
Advocated for it primarily because it's less stigmatizing than other terms like pedophile.
This is haram. Haram. Send her to Saudi. Let her repeat this shit. Haram. We need the will of God. We need Allah.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. We went to the streets to ask Americans about Islam. Here's what they said. Do you know anything about Islam?
No.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sadly.
Do you know anything about Islam?
Not really.
Do you know anything about Islam?
No, sorry.
Do you know what Islam means?
Islam? No.
We've been told that they're out to kill us all.
That's what you've been told, that Muslims are out to kill you all.
Well, that's what they say on TV.
Anything.
I know it's in the Middle East, isn't it?
Well, that you're going to have four wives.
Brothers and sisters, as you can see, there are so many Americans who don't know about Islam. We need your help to change that. Help us to build the Deen Center, the first mega Dawah center in America. We have $500,000 left, and we need your help to finish. Click to donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Deen Show. I'm your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. Hit that notification bell. And I have an exciting guest, exciting episode. He's here in Chicago with me, my brother, Jibril. How are you?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
How you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Man, we got to give you a new nickname. Jibril the Beast.
Mashallah.
Man.
Romario.
Romario, yes. It's nice having you here. How you feeling?
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing, alhamdulillah. Got to we got some good nutrition today, some training.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, good.
Alhamdulillah.
Good. Yeah. So how was your trip?
Well, alhamdulillah. Allah is the most kind. Mm-hmm. Short trip. So, long overdue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think last time we met was like what, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
Mashallah.
Back in Chicago here after all these years.
Our first interview was in Chicago 17 years
back
ago.
Back originally, right?
Yeah, back in the days, yeah. 17 years.
Romanian and loving Islam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So that's one thing for sure, is that time is continuing to pass. And alhamdulillah.
We're not gaining it, we're losing it. Wal asr, inna linsana lafi khusr.
Yeah.
You know, we're losing time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you're never going to be able to buy time.
Yeah,
that concept, buy me time, is just doesn't work.
Yeah.
The faster we realize, then the faster we can stop messing about and mm-hmm. get serious.
Yeah. So I wanted to share this clip with you and get your feedback. It's a reality that might be coming to a masjid near you. So it's hit the churches, and I want to see what we can kind of unpackage from this.
Mm. Her name is Britta Filter, and she is the Queen of New York! Yes!
You're not one to shy away from controversy, but this is something that is, for some people, might be controversial, but for others, it's not. Like, these were topics that many khatibs, many scholars, you know, they would avoid these topics.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's coming to a masjid near you. It's coming to the churches. So it's affecting our children. It's in the public schools.
It's a teacher that's kind of not a guy and not a girl, like somewhere in between.
Oh, so you're kind of boy and you're kind of girl?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah.
Me too, that's me.
Okay, right on.
I want to be a boy, but I don't like being a girl.
You know what? You have choices in this world to be all sorts of different things. But that's why it's MX, so Mix Chavez. That's where that comes from. I know some of you were a little confused. Some of you came and talked to me about it.
Yeah.
What?
Is it
some people do identify that way. I'm actually trans, so I'm not a tomboy. I'm trans. But some people do, and I'm sure if they wanted to, they could also go by mix in their classroom. Any other questions? Do you have any other questions, or can we move on?
So now it's like it's being pushed, like we're coming to get your children.
Your children.
We're coming to push our way upon you. It's not being left in the privacy of your own homes. What do you have to say when you see something like that?
First thing I would ask is how do we get here in the first place? I think a lot of people don't, they say, oh, you know, it's not my business, or this is a free country, everyone can do whatever they want. There's a lot of excuses, but no explanations. People give excuses. When it comes to, like, explain to me, how did we get here? And it goes back to, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. If you don't feel shy, you'll do anything you want, or as you please. That's exactly what's happening. I mean, this is a church. Now, a church, even though it's deviated from the path of God, right, there's only one path. People, you know, I was talking to someone the other day, I was explaining to him, look, he's like, well, Islam is a religion. I said, Islam is not a religion. There's no such thing as religion in the sight of Allah. There's deen. There's a way. And this it's always been the same way. People, I don't know, sometimes they try to put you in a box, you're this, you're that. You're not. It's even the Muslims. If you're not on the deen, you're not on the deen. It doesn't matter. Your name is Muhammad. If you're not on the deen, you're not on. It's always been the same deen. From the first till the last. It's going to be the same.
Same way of
life. It's only one way. Right? The Prophet, he drew a line in the sand, straight line. Said, it's the path of Allah. He drew sidelines. Said, it's the path of shaitan. Mm-hmm. I mean, every deviation, you could call it religions that came out left and right. In the end, they're all... the prophets that came all brought the same message. But
how would you translate deen?
Deen, it would be a way. People say a way of life, but then people are like, well, Buddhism is a way of life. I mean, it is a way of life, but it's a the way. Mm-hmm. It is the way that Allah has chosen for his people. And it's always been the same. It's never been different religions. There's no linear... oh, it first came this one, and then a new religion, and a new religion, and it's always been one religion, one way, one deen, one path, one life. It's like a train that's going to a destination. It's the same. It's not going to go, it's just straight, man. Some people get on it, some people get off it. Some people get excited, they look outside, oh, wait, stop, I want to get off. Right? And then they get off. Some people stay. You just got to ride it all the way. Mm-hmm. But it's always been the same. But the Prophet said, if you have no shyness, you're going to do whatever you want. And the fitrah of the human being is such, the way Allah created it, that if it's not protected and fine-tuned by the revelation, the wahi, then you corrupt it. And this is what we're seeing right now. A church is a deviation from the path of God. But as in the Quran, as it says, that if, you know, Allah would have not checked the nation with the other one, there would have been much corruption in the masajid, in the synagogues, in the churches, where the name of Allah is mentioned. Of course, it's a deviation, but even according to Christian standards, the church was a place of God, okay? Putting aside the theological differences, which, of course, they're wrong, but it was considered still a place God. Oh, still like 50s, 60s, 70s. You wouldn't see such things.
Like what we just saw with the...
this was unacceptable. Like people would have an uproar.
So this is technically a man who's dressed as a stripper.
It looks like, I guess.
And you're in a house of... worship is supposed to be a house. It's supposed to be a house of God.
Yeah.
And you have, like, you're bringing this kind of behavior that is more conducive to a strip club. Why are you bringing it to a church? Why? With the Orthodox Jews, can you bring this to a synagogue? You think they would allow this?
I don't think they would allow it, but I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe they will sooner or later. Maybe the Muslims are going to allow it.
Yeah.
You got now mosques that are, you know, gay mosques.
Mm-hmm.
Things are changing fast. The question is, again, how did we reach here? Because we allowed these things to happen. If people are not careful, it's easy to corrupt your fitrah.
Fitrah, how would you translate fitrah?
It's basically what Allah created you with, the natural disposition. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but Allah has created you in the best way. Clean. Okay, you're clean. However, within this fitrah, Allah has also put you're susceptible to certain deviations.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the soul, the nafs, the desires. If a person follows their desire, they'll corrupt their fitrah.
Yeah.
It's just, Allah has told us. People will be like, why did Allah then put us in this way? Why did He create us like that? Why did Allah create shaitan if He knew He was going to? Allah, He does what He wills. He cannot be asked. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He said, you know, that حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَكُولُ آمَنَّ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be left alone just to say we believe and they'll not be tested? Actually, the word here, لَا يَفْتَنُونَ, is the word is fitna. They'll be put in fitna. Why? We don't know. Allah is testing us. Like, you can't just claim that I'm a good fighter, right? And then you're not going to fight. Someone's going to challenge you on that,
mm-hmm.
right? People claim all kinds of stuff today. You're going to be challenged. You can't just claim I'm a believer, I'm an upright person, and you're not going to be tested on that belief. It's just Allah has made the law like that. So, like, how did we reach here, though? Again, like, how can someone allow? I think even more shocking is the amount of people are supporting this. The amount of people who don't see a problem with it. The amount of people who keep quiet. And this is where we're going. Because first, we were against it. People were against this kind of behavior. Not just this. A lot of immoral, unethical, degenerate type of behavior. People are against it. They stood against it. They passed laws against it. But what happened is, after some time, people started being conditioned through media, movies, slowly. You keep pushing, and you're not aware that's how the fitra changes.
Isn't this a prophecy being fulfilled? Prophet Muhammad, he talked about promiscuity,
yes.
Rampant and
promiscuity. The Prophet said that time will not be established till men will satisfy their desires with men and women with women.
So this is Prophet, the last final message of mankind. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him.
Yeah.
He said this.
Yes. And look what's happening. You know, you keep pushing someone and they're not pushing back. You know, imagine you're in a fight, in a boxing match, and you're just allowing someone to pound you. You go in a corner, you just crunch down, you're done. You have to push back. We look into the history after the sexual revolution, all the laws that were passed, where people just kind of laid back. They got busy with entertainment, with movies. Then social media came in. People were busy. They didn't care about, and slowly they were demoralized. The brain changes. Everything you see, you watch, you listen to, even the slightest thing, brother. 5 seconds. TikTok. It changes you. And the more, imagine you watching that every single day. You're listening, you're hearing. It's the repetitive effect. In psychology, we call it the repetitive effect. Even if you don't agree with it first, trust me, if you keep watching that stuff, within 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, don't worry, they have patience. It will happen. You will agree with it. Not just you'll agree with it, you'll start promoting it. And that's what happened. Like, we used to hate, we were against it. Then we became almost like descent. Like we said, you know, it's not a big deal. So first we're against it. Next thing we're like, you know, I don't have time for it. It's not a big deal. Whatever. Let people do whatever they want. I'll do whatever. Then slowly people start saying, well, it's not so bad. And now they're promoting it.
The desensitization just keeps slowly happening.
That's
happening.
Like before, you just people had an issue with this kind of behavior.
Like, yeah, the more you go back, if you look at, what's that, the Lucy show? I don't remember. They had the different shows where you wouldn't even have the couple sleeping in the same bed, let alone kissing on TV, let alone doing anything and more. I mean, this is here in America.
In America.
I was looking at some pictures from Lakeshore, the beach here. This was, I think, the early 1900s. And they were almost like in the sunnah. Right. You couldn't see no skin.
What was that, like early, I think, just pre-World, First World War, or just Daytona Beach. Can you imagine Daytona Beach? Right now? Women were being given fines for wearing shorts.
This is Daytona Beach.
Yeah, they're being fined.
So this is probably most of the beaches in America. Now someone says that's old-fashioned. But you're talking about, no, that's fitra. Fitra, that's the natural way. Most people, if they're a God-fearing, religious, any kind of people who want to live a morally upright life, they'll be like, they can connect with what you're saying.
Yeah, because the fitra is, Allah has created shyness into human
beings.
And
they can identify and they say, yeah, I'm with these guys. This is, exactly. This is, I can agree with this.
Yes.
But how far have you gone off where you're like,
it just look where we are right now. Like, you're talking about covering to nudist beaches.
Yeah.
I look at the extreme. Why? What's changed? The people change? Their bodies change? Well, maybe a bit. But what changed is we lost our ethics and morality. Mm-hmm. We lost our shyness. We don't see a problem with doing that.
Yeah, so it's just a lot of programming.
Have advocated for
the slave programming. They're trying to put it in my brain.
Advocated for it primarily because it's...
This is haram! Haram! The slave programming. They're trying to put it in my mind. It hurts me.
A lot of programming. It's that's the thing that now is upsetting to a lot of Christians, Jews, religious people, Muslims, is that you have these curriculums are being set up. You're a school principal. You're somebody who has a master's in psychology, is it? Or your background is in this, in mental health and... counselor for currently and for many years. Yeah. So you see the traumas, you deal with a lot of these issues. And what is happening is that now, systematically now, they're injecting things into the children at such a young age, from kindergarten to 2 years of a second grade. It's one curriculum, and they're putting this stuff in there that you as a parent, I should be able to teach my children what I deem fit. Why are you pushing this sexuality and pushing all of this stuff that, you know, it goes against our moral values and we have to just swallow it?
Yeah,
if you're sending your children to these institutions.
I've been a principal for many, many years. I'm working on my master's right now as well in counseling, and been a counselor for many, many years, almost 2 decades.
SubhanAllah.
They know that the formative stages are the early stages, and that's what they're targeting. I mean, for you and I,
this is not a coincidence.
It's not a coincidence. It's pushed conspiracy theory apart. This is a conspiracy, right? They know exactly where they can get people and desensitize them. And if you look at the psychologists who push this, like Kinsey, for example, Alfred Kinsey. That's what he wanted, basically, like a fluid sexuality.
These were sexual deviants themselves.
Oh, God.
When you look at their work.
Horrible. You know, if you look and you study their work, even Sigmund Freud, or, you know, the grandfather of psychology, you look at some of their writings, and how would people celebrate this? How? Why? Not now. We're talking about back then, where still morality was, to an extent, upheld. In the church, in the house, conservative states and so on, policies. But they know that children can be molded. The fitra is the fitra, it's pure, as the Prophet told us. Yes. Every person is born in the fitra. And then his parents, meaning the environment. This hadith can be extrapolated and extended to so many different things. His parents convert him and change him into a Christian, Jew, fire worship. It's not just about the religion here. It's about the fact that a person can be changed through conditioning, especially at certain ages. And that's where these people are targeting. And my question again is, how did it get to this point that they can influence laws? They can pass legislation. You know why? Because we allowed them to. right? Because if you look at the legal system, okay, you vote your representative, but then it's a very small pool of people who decide really what the laws that are passed. But people didn't protest. People are too busy.
Within the means of the law to take
action. You can. That's the thing that
not
I'm trying
violence,
to explain to people.
Not breaking the law.
The law allows you.
Yes.
And that's where you see right now a lot of reversals taking places, right? A lot of, like, 2022 was a bad year for these people because there have been some laws that were reversed, right? It was a bad year for abortion.
Yeah.
It was a bad year. So why? Because within the law, we're not asking here, people. I know we don't want to go. We're wise. We're not afraid. I'm not scared of anyone. But I'm wise. We got to be wise. You got to know where you're at, right? It can't be just a loose cannon. But within the system, you can do a lot. The problem is that no one's doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And people are holding hands with the wrong people. You know, what's wrong with the Muslims getting together with conservative Christians and Jews and fighting for the same ethics and morality?
Absolutely.
Why are they holding hands with the wrong people and promoting that? That's some, you know, it's like, and now people are switching. It depends which way the wind blows. All of a sudden, now you got people coming.
Because this is something that conservative Christians, like you said, and conservative also Jews.
Yeah.
And others.
This whole Abrahamic faiths and Judeo-Christian tradition. Okay, let's agree upon this thing. Yeah, we have different theologies, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But here, in the issues of ethics and morality, there's a lot of agreement.
Yeah, so work together.
Work together. Why are you working with the wrong people? Mm-hmm. To corrupt the morality of your own people.
Send the wrong message.
Send the wrong message because, they're minorities, we're minorities, you scratch my back. You're going to leave a lot of wounds on my back by scratching me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't make sense. But you see, under pressure, people melt. That's when you know. Oh, there's a bit of pressure. Oh, let's join hands with these groups and those groups. No, you're supposed to push back. Even if you push alone. The Prophet ﷺ said, right? Allah says, stand for justice, even if it's against yourself.
Yeah. Did you see those? They had some videos, and because you have a lot of these teachers who are coming out on the TikTok and videos, and they're talking about Pledge Allegiance to the flag.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements, and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand but not say the words. My room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he like looks around and he goes, oh, that one? The inclusive pride flag. I pledge allegiance to the queers.
Of this color movement and the alphabet movement. And then the whole, again, young children, and then they're discussing, today the boy is talking about identifying as being a girl and sending these mixed signals. Children, you're an expert in this area. I mean, how confused are kids just in general at a young age? They're naive, you know, they're not fully developed, and if they want to be G.I. Joe and they're playing, they want to be, now you're just capitalizing off this.
See, it is dhulm.
It's oppression of the children.
It's oppression. Because the child at
that
young...
So we're trying to save the children, man.
It's saving the children.
From this oppression.
The child cannot discern between right or wrong.
Wow.
But they have a lot of ideas. They're creative. Allah has blessed them with a lot of skills. And they have inquisitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
They want to learn. This is part of their fitrah. But again, Islam, revelation, submission to the Creator, came to guard the fitrah. And people might say, you know, you guys are very strict. But when you understand why that strictness, look around, then you see that it makes sense. We're trying to protect these children. It's not fair. It's dhulm. It's oppression for someone to target a child who does not understand, cannot make their own choices. Let's say, for example, a girl is playing with cars. Mm-hmm. Back in the days, it was like not a big deal. I mean, she might play a little bit and get out of it and go with the girls. Or her mom might say, look, this is not, just go with the girls. And she might say, yes, it's okay. Now, you're told, oh, maybe there's a boy inside of you. Because only boys like cars or something like that. You know, something silly. Mm-hmm. And it confuses them. And then they start looking online and do girls like cars. And the first thing you're going to see is all kinds of weird messages and blogs and support groups. Back in the days, you would have one of the activists who goes against conversion and gender conversion and people transiting. Mm-hmm. He's done it and he's regretting it. He's gone back. He's telling young people, don't do it. He said, when I was young, I started wearing girls' dresses. It was something because it was around. He said, my grandma put it on me. And that was oppression because she should have told me no. And at that age, you just know the child slowly gets the message. But right now, people tell maybe you need to explore, maybe this, maybe that. There's just so much pressure that's being pushed on you that people are confused. We used to have, you know, I mean, SSA and problems. Now, it's not even that. It's about like, you don't even know who you are. What's your gender? Even though you can obviously look it up and see everything is male, female.
Yeah.
But people are saying, you know, that I don't know what I am. I'm trapped in this body.
You've seen those videos?
Story time. This has been my first year in preschool with a class of my own, teaching alongside another queer neurodivergent educator. And we have been rocking our Tues class. We've been talking about gender and skin color and consent and empathy and our bodies and autonomy. It's been fabulous. But our teaching team is shifting and a new person is being onboarded. So today at the lunch table, when the topic of gender and genitals came up, one of our students plainly looked up and said, well, I'm a girl today, but I know that teacher Ko isn't. No, they're NB. And the look on the incoming teacher's face was priceless. She just looked around at the two of us and said, this class is incredible and I am so impressed.
I've seen the people.
So is that why now when you have an individual such as this individual here, who I'll bring out, who there's a lot of talk about him now, and you know he says some things that are on point. I'm going to let you react to this video here.
Leave the kids alone. If you want to chop, nothing against that. I'm not anti-gay. I'm not anti-transgender. I'm not anti any of these things. What I am anti is propagating your worldview on other people's children. If you're gay and you can't have kids, why do you now believe it's your right to go to other people's kids and tell them how to think? If you've decided that the type of sex you want to have will prevent you from procreating, that's your decision, right? You've decided that having sex with women isn't worth it for you. You don't want to have children. You want to have sex with men. Fine. Your decision, and you're entitled to it. That does not give you the entitlement to go to other people's families who did decide to have children and raise them and try and program their children. Leave the kids alone. You can be as transgender as you like. Don't come talk to my kid about it. That's my child. I will program my child with my worldviews. I raise them. I pay for them. They're my kid. They're not your kid. And they're not the government's kid. And this is what I was saying earlier about women being blank slates. Same with children, right? You either program your woman and program your children, or society will do it. Do you believe the lessons that society are putting inside of people today are good lessons? I don't. I will not send my kids to school. I don't think they're going to learn anything. Do you know how many teachers I've seen pissed out of their minds fucking corner on pub toilets on cocaine? I'm a teacher. You ain't gonna teach my kid. You're an idiot, right? I can teach him to home. We have the internet. We have unlimited information. I can say Google World War II, write a report, boom, talk tomorrow. And with discipline, my kid will know more than any kid in any public school without the indoctrination, without all the propaganda. That's what all this is. All this shit is deliberate. Governments know what they're doing when they're trying to propagandize. And I think a lot of people do not understand yet, because most people still live inside of the Matrix.
There's your buddy from Romania. You're Romanian also.
I'm Romanian,
yeah, but he's not actually Romanian.
No, he just lives in Romania.
Lives in Romania.
But that kind of talk doesn't work in Romania, no? It works on YouTube and not in Romania, yeah. I'll tell you that.
So what do you think? I mean, he's on point on a lot of things. Obviously,
Number one, he's like, he said, oh, I don't mind this, I don't mind that. We mind that. You know, he doesn't mind it, but we mind it. Uh-huh. He needs Islam. And then he would mind it too.
Yeah.
So we mind that. Like he said, I don't care if you're this or that. No, we care. Because that's where it starts from. See, that's the problem. His mentality is wrong. Mm-hmm. He says a lot of good things that are attractive, flashy. But he's missing the point. I'll give an example. He says, I don't care if you are trans or this or gay. Just don't come to my children. It's like saying, I don't care if there's a fire on my house. I'm going to put it off. Or if people start lighting fires, as long as it doesn't come to my house. Dude, come on, man. Wake up. These people are more dangerous than fire. You think it's not going to come to you? Imagine there's like a bunch of people. You're in the village. Your house is safe. Mm-hmm. Got your family safe. And as a man, you're saying, oh, I can see all these people lighting fires around my house. It's okay. As long as you just do it in your own place, I don't care. Just don't come to my house and light my own house on fire. People are going to be playing with fire a lot around your house. Guess what? Your house is going to get burned. You have to. You can't always be on a defense or just leave me alone. I'll leave you alone. That's not Islam.
That's someone who doesn't have Islam. But now imagine if he had. So we'd love for him to now, you know, take that step forward because he agrees. You know,
Andrew Tate, man, just take the team, man.
Come on, Andrew, you got to come.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. It's as simple as that, brother.
Very simple, you know. And this is out of the love, brother.
We'll go to Romania, bro. Take a shahada there, man.
We can Bismillah. Do that. We'll come and visit you there. But imagine if he had, because it's hard now to go ahead and measure according to Quran Sunnah. He don't have it. He's on point with a lot of things. But imagine if he had that guidance, living by the Quran and Sunnah. Now he came across the hadith where the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, if you see an evil, go ahead,
change it
with your hands. If you can't change with your hands,
with your mouth, speak
out against it, or at least hate it in your heart, right? But now a person doesn't have that. They're going on.
I love this hadith.
Yeah.
We need to connect this hadith. Because let's start from the back.
Yeah.
What did the Prophet say? وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. And that is the weakest of iman, when you just hate in your heart.
That's the weakest level.
Yeah. Okay, let's say our ummah right now hates, because no one is actually going to change it by their hand.
Yeah.
We lost that. It would be nice, within the law, I think people could change it with their hands. I think even here in North America, if enough people get together, whatever they do, you know, people are going to say, that's the point, that people didn't get involved. They're passive. I'm not going to talk about the fiqh of what you can do, vote, this and that. All I'm saying is look at the reality. A lot of people became very passive. Christians, whoever. Muslims, of course. And this is what happened. We're coming to get your children, right? That's what it is. It got to that point where I'm going to talk smack in your face and tell you in your face that I'm coming to get you and you can't do anything about it. You know when you're like taunting someone?
Yeah.
Or you're teasing them?
With that song?
Yeah. Why are they doing it? Because they can.
But then they turn around as like a joke, but this is for real.
It's for real.
Yeah.
Disney. Look at all the Fortune 500 companies. Everyone pretty much is supporting this. How do you think they got to that point? Disney. Your children are watching Disney. What do you think? There's no condition. Do you understand the neuropsychology of it? The neuroscience of it? Everything you watch, it affects you. It's called an influencer because it influences you. That's why it's called a program because it programs you. Right? But if you don't change it with your hand, within the system, you can. But no one does it because everyone's sorry. People are cowards. Mm-hmm. Okay, at least speak against it. No one wants to speak against it either. Because, I'm going to lose my job. Well, so what?
But do you think now when they see him, someone like Andrew Tate, and then they compare, look at many of the community leaders.
That's why people gravitate towards him.
So he's speaking even more, even though he don't have the deen, Islam. But then you.
But his fitrah calls him to say that this is wrong.
But then you have people, some community leaders won't even speak that much.
But you see, with like a lot of our community leaders, and I know this is, you know, I don't know, people can react and do whatever, leave it in the comment section. Just keep it there, right? I don't care, honestly, but this is the reality. It's not my ego that I don't care about anything. It's really that I care. But I don't care if you want to cancel us or comment or, you know, say, brother, you guys are talking about this. Who do you think you are? This is the reality. We have reached this point because a lot of our community leaders did not say anything. And now families are coming to, with their children to us as counselors and say, please fix our children. My kids are this, this, this. Man, you know. What do you mean fix them now? Where are the khutbahs that talk about this thing? Oh, you get canceled. Oh, you get pulled your funding away. So what? Who provides? Allah provides. Not just that. Look at our numbers. We don't have a problem with money, akhi. The Prophet says, I don't fear for my own poverty. We don't have. Look at our numbers. But the Prophet says, Zabid al-Bahr, he said, like the foam of the sea. Like if anyone cancels you, removes your funding, or can we not come all together and just reestablish that system? We can. Do we want to? That's the problem.
Do you see this being a reason why many Christians are seeing Islam as the last hope now? They're seeing because Islam doesn't bend. Now they're starting to realize why Islam is strict on so many things. The submission to the creator of the heavens and the earth, Islam has guidelines, and you can't like now kind of just like a buffet, mix it up, and we'll do right. It this way one day, weekend, and we'll bring the, you know, the stripper into the church to draw people in who's actually a man. Well, no.
It's Islam is strong as a system. The question is, are the Muslims strong? Mm-hmm. Because Islam is only going to be as strong as the practicing of the Muslims. And the Prophet said, you will follow them into the hole of the desert. I'm not trying to insult anyone here, but this is the hadith. We're not shying away from it. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, who?
This is another prophecy?
Yeah. Who? The Christians and the Jews. Who else? He said. Literally he said, who else? Look at what they're doing. They're disrespecting their places of worship. And what are the Muslims going to do? Guess what? We're already starting to do that as well. Right? Because again, if you don't change things, if you're not proactive, everything's on the defense, then guess what? Someone's going to push onto you. It's just the law that Allah has designed for the universe. If you get pushed and you don't push back, you're going to get pushed more. Right? But look at the last part. He said that then hate in your heart. And that's the weakest of iman. Meaning you're at your weakest level. Mm-hmm. Okay. If all of the Muslims would hate it, we would say we're at the weakest level of our iman. Mm-hmm. The problem is that a lot of Muslims don't even hate it anymore. So what kind of weakness is that? It's even a level below that.
So then it comes to the desensitization that's been happening over time. How did you let it get to that state of getting so desensitized? And that is that systematic approach. If you're sending your children to these institutions, you're kind of setting yourself up.
You're setting yourself up? And it's even more than that today.
So would you say like this is, I mean, you're borderline, you know, this is a big, big word to use, but would you say many scholars have said that it is haram, it's to send your children to the public schools?
Yes, some have said it's haram. Just like it's like
some have said it's like flushing your children down a toilet, spiritual suicide. You know, because you see what's happening right now.
No doubt, it is.
Unless you're sitting there every day debriefing them, every day, you know, every day you're... You
right,
know.
But how many people do that? Yeah. And the problem is that it's bled into the Muslim countries as well. It's bled from the public schools into the Islamic schools. I work with Islamic schools, and some of the issues that we're having are huge.
So let's go to Islamic schools, because you'll have a curriculum that they'll copy from the public schools. So are they naive? It's just kind of... gets past them. They got to look out for it. If they're taking it and putting it into their school, they have to look out for some of these things that are being taught.
Yes, you have to filter. You got to be careful. You got to adjust. But then again, within the law, what are you allowed to do, right? Because they're pushing you to make sure that your kids are exposed. Okay, you want to have your Islamic school? No problem. Go ahead. But you got to follow our curriculum. So yeah, you call it Islam, but still you're following our curriculum. Mm-hmm. And in the end, if you don't, then we can pull your funding or your licensing and so on and so forth.
But how do we even get to the point? I just still can't wrap my mind around it. You know, when you go back to your men, your grandfather, your grandmother at a certain time, this is, and people say, oh, this is old school. This is like old fashioned. Now it's like the 2023 almost. And now you're born as a male or female, but you can change that later. That's that gender fluidity. How do we get to that point? This is something that's just so, there's no science to back it up. It doesn't carry any weight with any religion, with God, obviously, but with science, with logic, it just makes no sense. But you got half the country are starting to become divided and accepting of this. How do you just look? Doesn't make any sense. And you go from a time when it was just, this is not something even up for discussion, right?
All this gold, brother. Wallahi. Yeah, and that's what the Prophet says. He said that the best generation is my generation. And then after and after.
Yeah.
In many hadith, again, prophecies, like people need to look. How did the Prophet know these things?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Prophet said, first it will be prophecy. It will be manhaj al-nubuwa. Then rightly guide Khalifa. Then the corruption. He talked about everything.
Yeah.
What we can extrapolate from this hadith is that there's a progression.
Yeah.
Or you can say a degeneration, because he said the first generation is the best one.
Yeah.
And then after, and then it'll go down.
Wow. So it's just, you can right? see that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we're having right now. Why? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created us in such a way that we are easy to be guided or misguided.
Hence, teachers who are having master's degree, very intelligent, and now they don't want to stand out, and they have a few others who are like really passionate, right? And they really are pushing this, and now you have them just kind of following the herd.
That's it. People don't want to, they're scared to talk, they're scared to oppose.
Yeah.
Like, we can't even have a discussion. This is how far it's gone, that they passed legislation where you're not even allowed to have a discussion. It can be called discrimination, can be called hate speech and so on. Why did it even reach there? If you are so confident about what you are trying to put on people here with your curriculum, then let it be debated. If you're so confident, it's actually very, very clear. I want people to think about it. If these people are saying that you're born this way,
mm-hmm.
right, that's the argument. If these people are saying that they're so confident about what they're offering to the world, then let it be up for debate. Why are you limiting, canceling people? If someone wants to oppose you with science, with argumentation, let the best person win, isn't it? But you see, they're scared because they know what they're doing. No, you're not born like that. You're born pure. But yes, you can be corrupted.
Yeah.
And the corruption of today, brother, again, what we're faced with 21st, there's been all kinds of corruptions. There was Hollywood, there was Bollywood, there was TV. But now, with social media, it is accelerated. And these people know, and that's why all social media platforms are promoting this kind of. And if you are, by any chance, if me and you talk against it, guess what? You'll be demonetized, deplatformed, banned, shadow ban, whatever you have. Why? Did I say let's go and punch you in the face or something? Did I say anything like that on the show? Did I incite anyone towards hatred or to be violent towards these people? I didn't say that. All I'm offering is some intellectual arguments.
This is free speech.
Yeah, where is the free speech?
But you do have people pushing back, like you had Matt Walsh from Raise a Woman. I don't know if you got a chance to see that.
I have.
Okay. Really great documentary.
Yes.
So he's really caught a lot of momentum. You have a lot of mainstream also people out there who are gravitating to it because
excellent.
He's a voice of logic, reason.
But you see, this is what proves my point. Do you see how easy you can switch people this way or that way?
Yeah.
The problem is that there's not many people who can switch that way.
Yeah.
Everyone's pushing towards liberalism, towards loss of morality and degeneration. And people are going for it because they're conditioned and constantly it's in their face. If more people would be pushing towards morality, then more people would probably swing that way as well.
And we got to break through that barrier, the wall there, because you have people like Matt Walsh. We invited him on the program, but he works for this Ben Shapiro.
Right.
Shapiro. And you have this misinformation, and these people also pushing this hate against Muslims, Islam. So now they're scared to work with Muslims. But if they would sit and get to know Muslims and look where we stand on things, I think they're...
Look, the agenda of these people is clear. I don't think they're hiding it.
Mm-hmm. Because we can do a lot of good here together.
We can.
We have so much in common.
And I think no matter what, we can. I think, and the evidence for that is that the Prophet ﷺ would have treaties with non-Muslims. Mm-hmm. People have different theologies, and then they hated Islam. And they even fought wars together. Like, in his army would have certain regiments of Christians, Arabs, and non-Muslims to fight against a common enemy. Mm-hmm. You can't. The Christian Arabs didn't like the Muslims. They were very clear on that. They really did not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't think this argument is that all these people hate us or they hate Islam, therefore we cannot work on certain ethics and morals. So let's hold hands with these other people because they don't hate Islam. Are you kidding me? Really, they don't hate Islam? I mean, look what they're doing. Oh yeah, we can leave morality on the side for a bit. We just need to make sure we are protected and they're protected. Of course they hate Islam. They don't like Islam. If they would like Islam, they would convert to Islam. They would change their life.
Yeah. I am convinced, and I strongly believe, that the majority have not, and I think if they've sat with a qualified teacher of Islam, someone who really who lives by the Quran and Sunnah and can communicate and answer questions, I believe strongly that after some deep discussions, and you know, if the person is sincere and genuine, I think this can be broken through and then good can be accomplished. You don't have to end if someone doesn't accept Islam, but still they can end up being people that you can work together with. What do you think?
No doubt.
Because there's so much in common.
There's so much in common.
There's so much good that we can accomplish together.
No doubt.
And at the end of the day, all we're inviting you to is pure monotheism, worshiping the one and only one God. We say, Jesus, peace be upon him. We don't insult him. You're tag teaming with someone else who insults Jesus, his mother.
Right.
That's another thing I just can't wrap my mind around.
It's just insane. I understand that these conservative groups have insulted Islam and have said things. That's where the people push back. Like, how can you? Look, these liberal groups have not done it. They respect Islam. But as you said, if people sit down and explain to them things, it might be that they'll change their approach. Mm-hmm. We can defer. No doubt they will defer. I mean, you know, Allah said very clear that not everyone's going to be guided. Right? That's why Allah created hell for these people. Sorry to say. I mean, they think the same about us. Like, don't be offended. You know, why are you offended? You know, they think the same about us.
Yes, but we can get the elephant out of the room.
Get the elephant out of the room, man.
And we keep moving forward on these other big issues. Like, I'll give you an example. This is a perfect example. I had this comedian, worked in Hollywood. He was on the Joe Rogan show. He was somebody who was a staunch enemy of Islam, insulting Prophet Muhammad. Owen Benjamin is his name, if you've heard of him. And he said, look, I thought Muslims hated Jesus. And he was writing for the Louder for Crowder show. And he was writing the scripts for them. He's also made a song with that Tommy guy from the UK, you know, the Robbins or so, forgot his name.
Right.
And he was the president of the EDL. So he was writing a song against Islam, so tag teaming with someone who hates Muslims, hates Islam. Anyways, make a long story short, he was someone who hated Muslims, hated Islam. And to this day now, he's actually defending Muslims and Islam. And he'll say things like, Muhammad, peace be upon him. He'll totally had a shift after he had some exposure to Islam, to Muslims. Right. We had him on the program. Totally different.
Wow.
Totally different person. You know, it's amazing. So, and then another thing is, many of his followers for years and years and years, when they saw us talking together, they were like, how can we be so blind? We were so like fooled. It's, you know, to see their positive reaction of just us two coming together, having a program, talking about some of these things. And that's why I'm really optimistic to see if we can sit with more conservative Christians. We have so much in common.
I mean, if you look around the Western community, we have slowed down in the Dawa. Mm-hmm. You know, early 2000s, right? There was a lot of Dawa going on. Mm-hmm. Now, the just the amount, the quality is very low. Just Dawa to Christians and non-Muslims.
Yeah.
Very few people are still doing Dawa. It's now more about just being accepted.
Yeah.
No, it's... Yesterday, one of my clients was asking me, he's like, explain to me the hadith of the strangers.
Yeah.
And I said, let me tell you one thing about the hadith. The problem is that we're not strangers anymore. People are saying, oh yeah, the Muslims are just like us, you know, come, welcome. We're so accepted. I'm not saying here that people should hate us. But the Prophet said it started something strange and it returned something strange. Meaning, you're different than the rest of the people. You're unique, which is attractive if you think about it. People will want to understand the difference. That's what draws people to Islam. When you tell someone, you know, it's like kind of like Christianity. Oh, really? Okay, well, I don't really need to go to it because I have my own thing. Yeah, if it's kind of like Christianity, then, you know, it's all good. Oh, let's shake hands and have a coffee. Great, mm-hmm. Super. No problem. Have a coffee, man. But we're not the same. What we're saying is strange to you, should be strange to you, because it's not the same what you're saying. That's what the Prophet said when he came to Mecca with the message. It was against the culture of that time. But a lot of people are attracted to it because of that. Because they're tired of the lack of morality and what was happening in that society. So here's another system that is not like yours, that offers solutions. And it's exactly what Islam is. If people would just give it a chance, wallahi, it will solve all their problems. Just name
give
one
it a
problem.
Chance.
Bro, name one problem in the world. Like, people are complaining about world hunger. Okay, zakah will solve that.
That's one of the pillars of Islam.
Zakah will solve this. The pillar of Islam. Zakah will solve world hunger. Calculate it. If only a few of the wealthiest people in the world pay zakah. Okay, name, but does any other... See, zakah is fard. If Islam rules the system...
It's obligatory.
It's obligatory. Yeah. It will be taken from you. It's not your money.
It's a tax for the poor.
It's a tax for the poor, and it's not your money. It's not like whether you like it to give it or not. Or alms, I'll give it or I won't give it. It's up to me. No. No, it doesn't belong to you.
The poor people have to be fed. They have to be... This is their right.
It will solve. Okay, give me another problem. So, world hunger for sure.
Alcoholism.
Alcohol for sure. All the
gambling.
Gambling, pornography, all these
exploitation,
sexual deviations,
with,
exploitation.
Interest, with riba.
Interest, riba, everything will. The worst, the things that are the killers of today.
The breakdown of the home, the family.
Everything
with zina, promiscuity, fornication.
The whole world is complaining about these problems, saying we're having these problems. They have all these. You know, in
STDs,
United Nations.
20 million new ones a year.
A'udhu billah. Islam is a solution. It's a solution for the world problems.
Yeah.
It's a solution for individual. It protects you against all kinds of evils. It protects you against yourself. Islam is a solution. Just look at it. Just name one problem and you find that Islam has a... specific solution
but
for it.
A person has to be sincere. They have to be open-minded. There's so many layers of deception, falsehood, and that have systematically been put in the way. So people, they hear Islam, they start thinking all these negative things that has nothing to do with it. But if they really take some time to investigate, for example, just yesterday I met a Serbian guy, Marco. And obviously my parents, my background's from Bosnia. And you know the history between Serbs and Bosnians and whatnot, even though we don't just hate someone because of their nationality.
Right.
But what happened was he came into the mosque. He says, I just want to introduce myself. He just accepted Islam a couple weeks ago.
Allah.
He said he watched this program. We did top 10 reasons Jesus is not God. And he started investigating. And how he came at the end was he wanted to, as he's investigating, he wanted to give it one final push. So he went to his Orthodox Christian priest,
mm-hmm.
and he started asking questions. And instead of addressing things, the priest, he started just bashing Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So he couldn't. He said, so for them, that was the green light
That's
for him
it.
To accept Islam because Allah he couldn't. Allah. He had certain questions that the preacher he just couldn't answer intellectually, and he just started bashing Islam. So at the end of the day, it's just this push against Islam. with misinformation, with falsehood, with attacks, but nobody can come against the La ilaha illallah, you know, the pure monotheism, right? The beautiful teachings that, like you just said, the solutions for humanity.
I challenge people.
But let's be real. Some people right now, they'll come up because you are an expert in this area also, being in this field. You spent so much time going back, and someone will try to put a doubt in your mind. They'll bring up the Prophet's marriage to Aisha. They'll bring up some fiqh issue. They'll bring up something out there that needs more explanations, context, right? And didn't you do that for some time? You went and you looked into all these things and, even had a website. Is it still up?
Yeah,
dedicated
yeah.
to this?
Alhamdulillah, yes. We wrote hundreds of articles, academic articles. And I could sum up everything in a few sentences.
Do that, please.
And that is, just because you think something is wrong doesn't make it wrong. Mm-hmm. Just because you feel that this is not ethically correct does not make that thing wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with most people. I had that issue.
Yeah.
As I came into Islam, because I've been conditioned my whole life to have this pacifistic approach to life. And I don't want people to misunderstand me. As Allah says in the Quran, if they incline towards peace, you incline towards peace. We don't have a problem. We're not like these war, thirsty people. We just want to fight all the time and whatnot. The default is peace. So you condition your whole life in this fake pseudo philosophy, pseudo peace philosophy. Because if you look at it really, at what's happening around the world, the people who claim the most peace are the ones who are destroying the world the most. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, and when it's said to them, don't make corruption upon the earth, they'll say, we're peacemakers. Wallahi, I challenge everyone, look at the reality. Who is causing the most war and corruption in the world are those who are claiming to be the princes of peace. It's one ayah, bro, that just gives
you... The media spun things.
Straight up. So I was conditioned by that, just like you are. Whoever's watching right now, all the Christians, all the Jews, all the atheists, all the whoever. And I had an issue with like the hudud punishments. It was like, it was heavy on me.
Yeah.
It's causing a lot of cognitive dissonance, It's like you believe one thing, but you're on the outside is another thing. And they don't align, so it causes a lot of stress. And I remember one of my friends left Islam for the same reason. Mm-hmm. And that added more agony to me because I was like, man.
Now you're really being tested.
I'm really being tested. And this guy was praying Fajr in the first line in the masjid. And he was the same thing. He was like, I can't believe that a peace religion will cut the hand of someone who steals.
Of a thief. But if you go into the jail right now and people are doing 20 years, they say, take my hand, I want to get out. They're in solitary confinement.
It's not even that. Well, I was telling someone that in Romania, where our friend's there, the politicians or some people are saying, just bring back Dracula. Dracula would implement Sharia in Romania because he was trained in the court of the Ottomans.
Uh-huh.
And they would say that there was cups of gold in the center of the city where you get water.
Yeah.
No one would touch it. It was safe because people were scared.
Because of the deterrent of the amputation of the arms.
Exactly.
So this is not for someone just like trying to feed his family.
No.
This is for a planned, crooked thief.
Things. Like, these are the thieves. They're criminals.
And this is a hypocrisy because if you ask anybody, if you had a bag of money under your bed or some gold in your safe and someone put you and your family in danger and they came and they took all that and if you caught them, what would you do? And they're talking about decapitating the person. Forget about the hand.
So the Romanian politicians
bullet to the head, this, that, the other.
Said many people should have their hands cut off. That's what the Romanians are saying.
Because the Romanians, the Christians,
yeah, because there's so much corruption.
They're saying this.
Yeah, there's so many criminals, so many thieves.
Yeah.
And who's suffering? It's the normal people are suffering.
Yeah.
So
what do you got to worry about if you're not a thief?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
So go ahead.
Yeah. So he, when he left Islam, I was in a lot of agony.
Yeah.
And I remember I went to Africa, and there was this little girl that approached us to sell herself. And she was, you know, I was with my friends. It was night, I remember. She was like probably like 12 years old or something. And she said, $5. So like, look, just relax, you know, we're not looking for this stuff. It's like, please. And her pimp was sitting across the street. Just looking, I could see. He's getting nervous and that we're not accepting. Because sadly, they saw people that fit the profile. Because that's what happens. People come from the West, they go to Africa, they go to Indonesia, Malaysia, Thailand, and they do these things. Right? That's the degeneration level that we reached. She said, $2. I said, no, she's crying. Like, please, I'm going to get hurt. And at that time, I was still, you know, literally, even on the flight, I was thinking, trying to wrap my head around this whole Sharia thing, you know, the punishments. And it clicked in that moment. I said, if Islam would be here, this girl wouldn't do this.
Islam would have saved that young
girl. Islam would have saved the young girl. And that guy over there on the other side, he deserves a big punishment. And there was a paradigm shift in my brain. Something happened that night.
Yeah.
And it all made sense. But see, it was, first thing I realized was that I wasn't accepting reality because I felt it's immoral or unethical. I felt. I didn't know. I didn't have proof. I just felt.
Yeah.
And most people just go on feelings. They deny Islam based on how they feel. And they feel based on how they've been conditioned for many, many years. Wake up.
So before we close, you think that's why another reason? Sorry to keep bringing up.
No.
And we want to send him some love by giving him an invitation to Islam. But when he comes out and he's confidently talking about, get the rocks. He's like,
get the rocks.
Yeah.
Abdul.
Yeah. Get the rocks.
Get the rocks.
Yep.
Abdul, bring the rocks.
Yeah. And he just stuff like, we're Muslims. I really just shy away and just. But Andrew Tate, he's stepping up. And for that reason, let's invite him to Islam. Come on. Let's invite Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate. Brother in Humanity, again, we're not endorsing a lot of things, obviously, he does, but we understand he's not Muslim yet. But let's start off with he's still throwing up, and this is out of the love and out of respect we really want, because you can give someone the cars, he's got all the cars, you give him the money, he got all the money. The best gift you can give someone is Islam, because that's paradise forever.
It's the inner peace.
Inner peace. That's what I'm guaranteeing, that someone who doesn't have that connection with their creator, the way, not according to your desires, because you can't be just, you know, throwing up trinities and, you know, calling God a man and insulting God in any which way and think that God loves me and God's proud of me. And no, so
people like Andrew Tate, they think they're strong, but remove the cars, remove the girls, remove the lifestyle, what are they left with? Will they have inner peace? Right now they're happy because they are having all these stimuli, cars, the girls, the fame, the lifestyle. Remove that. How are you going to feel? Remove that from me and you, like, take everything from me. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It's like, you can't take Allah, you can't take my iman. You know? You can't. My iman's in my heart, right? As Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, you know? He said, you cannot take my Islam away. You can, if you want to jail me. That's time alone with my Lord. You want to kick me out of the land? It's okay. It's jawla. It's just traveling. You can't do anything. You want to take my life? You make me a martyr. Mm-hmm. But you can't take what's inside, man. That's the thing. Take away my car. Take away my family. Take away everything. In the end, you can't take away my iman. Only Allah can do that.
So for someone like him who might be confused and... The first step is to go ahead and explain, because if he's Christian and he's got problems with Christianity, but he's praising Islam.
Yeah.
If you're praising Islam, you agree with many of the teachings of Islam. Why don't we explain to him the most important teaching? Because if he understands this, if he grasps this, then he can be on his way to saying La ilaha illallah, the negation and affirmation. And there's nothing worthy of worship except the one who created you, Andrew Tate. That's the one you want to worship, that pure monotheism.
That's right.
And that goes against, you know, doing the whole 3-in-1 and whatnot. So let's touch upon that.
I really don't think he believes in that. I don't think he believes in the Trinity. So. No, it's
same thing with the Owen Benjamin. He also
human being is
and
wired.
Now you're coming, just so people can understand, you come from the background of being an Orthodox Christian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every human being is wired for belief in God. Psychologists have discovered a God spot.
God spot, yeah.
But putting that aside, you can just observe. Even the atheists, just the amount of time they spend talking about God or trying to is known that, okay, you're wired for belief in a higher creator, a higher being. So Andrew Tate in Christianity, it's just, for them, they think it's just easier to match their lifestyle and still be safe. And this is the greatest... people are going to be upset, but it's the greatest deception of Shaitan. Okay, the Christian theology that God's son, no, never mind, God himself pretty much died for your sins. So you can sin and live the lifestyle that Andrew lives, but yeah, you're still...
Put it on the JC Go card now.
That's it.
That we talked about before, right? This is like putting it on Jesus' back.
He's and this is the biggest deception, brother. Because it's very attractive.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want to. And I got a free ticket to paradise. Woohoo!
Never taught, brought by any of the prophets and messengers.
Never.
No one is dying for your sins.
Never.
If you want to go ahead and turn to your creator, repent to God Almighty alone.
That's it. We're not
sense.
We're not claiming here that we're better than anyone or so good or perfect. It's not about that. Well, you think you're better than me? It's not about that. It's about which system offers you salvation. Our salvation is with God. Mm-hmm. People's salvation is with people. It doesn't make sense. Not just doesn't make sense. Doesn't align with Scripture. Mm-hmm. Even with their own scripture. That's why Allah says in the Quran, Surah Maidah, I think, let the people of the Injil, Ahl Injil, let them stand by what their book says. Because they don't even stand by that. That's the problem. What do you want? You want to have the cake and eat it at the same time? It's not like that. Yes, we Muslims have a lot of issues, a lot of problems. But one thing we're for certain, that our system is watertight.
And I think you cannot find any other way of life that is so adamant about the oneness of God. And I think this is something that fascinated me, the Tawheed, the pure monotheism. Someone tried to compare Muslims with the Joseph Smith and all that. Nah. When you look into this, it's so far-fetched because in their religion, they're trying to make you a god at the end, that you're going to accomplish after this life, then you'll go on to be a deity. No one could be a deity. No one could be God. God is God. The creation is the creation. And this is something that resonates. It goes with what we talked about earlier, the fitrah.
The fitrah.
The belief in one and only, one creator, nothing worthy of worship except that one creator. And if he can understand this, everything else should be able to fall in place. And it's easy to understand, right?
That's right. Look, let's say he's having issues. It's tough for him.
Yeah.
It was tough for me. It was tough for many people who have converted to Islam. Fine. Just say La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah first.
Yeah.
Don't worry about everything else right now. Because a lot of people, when you talk to them, like, what stops them, that they, I'm going to have to change my life. I'm going to have to give up this.
Yeah.
True. But it's better to be a Muslim who commits sins than a non-Muslim who's righteous.
So we'll talk about all those other things with Andrew after the Shahada. So come into Islam
first.
Yeah,
say La ilaha Muhammad Rasulullah.
Just say La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
Done. Finish.
Translate that for me.
Yeah, it means there's no deity worthy of worship except God the Almighty.
Uh-huh.
And that Muhammad is his final prophet and messenger.
Just like Jesus was a messenger at his time. Same statement.
Same statement.
At Moses' time, same statement. La ilaha illallah, Musa, Moses.
It's always
the
been
messenger.
The same, brothers.
Muhammad is the last final messenger.
It's always been the same.
That's it.
There's no religions. There's no different. It's always been one thing.
And I love this. The negation. There's no deity where they worship. So that can be the cars.
Nothing.
You're not going to worship the cars, the money, yourself, your ego.
Nothing.
Nothing except the one who created you.
Who created.
This is so profound, so deep,
perfect.
So simple.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's it.
So from there, we can talk about the prayer. We can talk about establishing.
Step by step.
So, Andrew, let's do this. Repeat after us. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. That's it. Come on, Andrew. You could do it.
Bismillah.
It's something that will get you to the next step. Go to sleep saying it.
Allah, you know.
During the day, say it. And inshallah, start reading. You know, I sent you that book.
Ahead. If someone like him converts to Islam, putting aside all the differences that we have, if someone like him converts to Islam, you can imagine how many of his followers will at least consider.
Yeah.
Or want to be like, why did he? Like, why would him do that?
Mm-hmm.
You can change so many people's lives towards good. What you're doing right now, I mean.
And then he can become a better example.
A better example.
Because he'll be following the best example, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Who's a brother to Jesus, Moses, Abraham. They were all brothers in faith in Islam. Yeah. Anything else before we conclude? I think we ended it with a good one.
Alhamdulillah.
Sharing the message, inviting Andrew Tate to Islam, and also talking about these very important issues where many people are not touching upon them. It's really nice to spend some time with you, having you with us here. May Allah, God Almighty, reward you.
Ameen. You too, inshallah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Barakallahu alaykum.
And thank you guys for tuning in. Another exciting episode here with my brother Jibril on the Dean Show. Make sure you guys go ahead and subscribe if you haven't. And we have the latest project with the Dean Center. We're trying to get this up and running, so support us there. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. I cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.